section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Hell in the Cell is this weekend, brand news, and Brock is on Stone Cold's podcast. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have a special guest, Roger Cave. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. So Bram is unsuspended. What are your thoughts on this, Aaron?
Yeah, so the charges were dropped. He was originally charged with a false imprisonment and domestic abuse or domestic battery. And those went away. He probably had a really good lawyer, or maybe it was a small misunderstanding. We're not entirely sure. But the gist of it is that Bram is going to be back with TNA. Not that it matters a whole lot, since all the stuff that he's on right now is previously taped.
That is true, and if I'm correct, they've taped pretty much, what, till the end of next month, if I'm correct?
Yeah, I think it's then.
Because they taped all these matches that we didn't know what they were for. We thought they were for Explosion or a One Night Only, and turns out, hey, it's for this tournament.
But that's good for Bram, though, because now Bram is going to be able to be featured, and, you know, you're not going to have that stigma against him as being a wife beater, so.
Or maybe the judge felt sorry for him because the real punishment is that he stuck wrestling in TNA.
Oh, man, that's good, actually. So Tommaso Calap... Gosh, I can never say this guy's name.
Ciampa.
Ciampa, my bad.
The I is an H.
Apparently,
yeah. Yeah, it looked like it's an L. I was like, what the heck? But yeah, he may have signed with TNA. We're not sure this exactly, but he was actually on NXT recently, if I'm correct.
He was on NXT and Impact, right?
Yep.
He did both. He did a Rick Rude, but same night.
Yep.
Modern day Rick Rude.
Not just him, actually, because James Storm did it the following week or a couple weeks after that. Because James Storm was on NXT, and at the same time, he was a part of the title tournament. Spoiler alert, guys. I don't think James Storm is going to win the title.
I actually think James Storm is going to win the TNA title. I think he's going to show up at the pay-per-view and drop it in the trash and proclaim himself the next NXT champion.
Awesome. Tommaso Ciampa, I think that the reason why we even bring this up, so we're getting conflicting reports. We're getting reports that he had signed, then, you know, he was saying, oh, no, I never said that. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. I got to ask Andy, do you think that Tommaso Ciampa signing with NXT would be a good idea for them? Do you think that it's smart for them to take this guy from Ring of Honor, who was successful there and was very beloved and had a pretty big fan base? Do you think it's a good idea to pick him up?
Kevin Owens. I mean, that's the best example right now. He had a huge fan base, and then he comes over and they pushed him all the way to the main roster. I think he was on NXT maybe 3 months, and then all of a sudden he shows up on the main roster.
Maybe 6 months, I would guess.
No, I think 3 months is correct. He won the title almost immediately.
It was a what?
Remember,
40-50 days after he debuted.
Well, remember when he came, he made his appearance, and then he powerbombed Sami Zayn onto the apron, and then I think it was 2 months later, they had their pay-per-view, he wins the title, all of a sudden he shows up on Raw.
Yeah, I think it was like 3-4 months. He was on Raw quickly.
Yeah.
They hotshotted him.
Yeah,
which is good. I mean, he certainly earned it.
Yeah, and I think it was mostly because of his merchandise sales. So what's to say? Tommaso may have the same. He may do the same thing, but, you know, Sami Zayn, you make an argument. Sami Zayn should have been pushed to the main roster already, and he's still at NXT.
I wouldn't actually say Sami should be on the main roster yet.
I don't think he should either. I think that might be you might oversaturate it a little bit. And that would be my biggest worry, that he would basically get the Neville treatment.
Yep.
And Neville, who I think is a very talented wrestler, has been wrestling King Barrett nonstop for the past month, you know, and it's like,
like 5 months.
Well, King Barrett did take a month off, though. So I guess, you know, 5 months minus one.
Because they fought at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
They fought in the finals of the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
They were feuding before. I mean, they've been fighting since Neville came to the main roster.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, like Sami Zayn, That would be my worry. But Andy, let me ask you this. In terms of all these people that are signing with NXT, or at least even being in NXT, we have James Storm, who's there, Samoa Joe, Tommaso Ciampa. You obviously have the mainstays like a Sami Zayn and a few others. Do you think that they might be oversaturating NXT with Ring of Honor and TNA guys?
Here's what I believe is going to happen. After WrestleMania, I think you're going to see NXT actually tour more than what we've been seeing. And not just in the local areas, but I think that at least once, if not twice a month, they're going to send NXT out. And if you're going to have your big time players touring for like, you know, 1 weekend a month, you're going to have someone down touring at the other, basically in their true developmental, basically hitting like Lakeland, Florida, and like all those other small areas. That's why I think they're doing this. Plus, if they can do it, why not? If they can afford to do it right now, get those guys signed. Because the one thing also is really interesting is that we have not seen a lot of injuries where guys are out 3 to 6 months. We have a couple here and there, but remember,
well,
at one point,
big ones, Hideo and Sammy.
Right, but I think they're right there. I mean, I bet that right now they're ready to go.
Tyson Kidd.
Well, but he wasn't on NXT at the time. I bet it was an NXT wrestler, quote unquote. But really, I'd say those two are the biggest ones that I could think of that have been injured in NXT.
Tyler Breeze had that finger injury.
It was hard to take selfies. So, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, but I believe that they're just trying to sign as many people as they can. And I think that they're doing this as more of a plan. So if for some reason TNA starts to take off a little bit, they can't just go to Ring of Honor and say, hey, I'm going to take this guy. I'm going to take this guy. This guy, they're saying that, hey, if you want to be with us, you're going to stay away from TNA. And as we've seen recently is that they didn't want to sign people with Ring of Honor since they are on Destination America as well. I'm wondering if they're just trying to grab as many as they can, maybe to hurt Ring of Honor to a certain extent, and also maybe hurt. Well, we're definitely hurting TNA.
I don't think they want to hurt Ring of Honor. Like, Ring of Honor is not competition for WWE. They're like, you know, I like Ring of Honor. I think we all do. I don't think anyone in the WWE is like, Ring of Honor is something to worry about. They are in completely different leagues. I mean, Ring of Honor is a very good indie promotion. WWE is the standard. Like, they are not competing in any way, shape, or form. They could run shows on the same day, and Ring of Honor is the only one concerned about what time their show is going to air. I mean, let's just be honest. Now, NXT, on the other hand, WWE might be worried about them with the main roster competing.
Yeah, the NFL is not going to worry about the Arena Football League. They're not going to worry about the Lingerie Football League or whatever.
The XFL. Legends.
Legends Football League. That's what it's called now. They're not worried about that. The Legends Football League is Lingerie Football League. They're not going to be as worried about that. While they are technically in the same market, it's very different. Coke versus RC Cola, you know, that sort of thing. Now, Andy, Sami Zayn appeared at Evolve, and this was something that we had talked about. There was speculation whether or not he was actually going to be there, and he was. And so it sounds like WWE is actually going to be doing some more stuff with Evolve, which just a little background about Evolve. The person that founded it was a former Ring of Honor booker, Gabe Sapolsky. And so it's actually a pretty big deal because he has a working relationship with WWE. And so it looks like WWE and NXT are going to share some talent with Evolve. So do you think that's a smart idea for them to do that?
This is what I was saying earlier. I believe that they're testing the market out right now. Is that going to help that show out in that area? So let's say you bring Sami Zayn, do that increase ticket sales? Let's say they bring, I'll even say Cesaro. Will that help out ticket sales? Because if it does, that means they're like, okay, let's hit this region first. Let's see how this works. Maybe they're going to work with other regions as well. I don't want to say Dreamwave, but that's because it's right by me. But like, you could say, let's say they do something with Dreamwave where they send one talent there and then they do real well. Well, that means NXT, if they brought one guy over there, just think they brought 12 guys over there. They're going to sell that thing out real fast, and maybe they can even increase ticket prices. But Gabe, you know, Gabe was one of those guys. He has an eye for talent, and a lot of the guys that Gabe brought to Ring of Honor were nobodies. AJ Styles, you know, we'll just say that one right off the bat.
Well, he was in WCW and some stuff with WWE.
Yeah, so was Christopher Daniels. And everyone remembers Christopher Daniels from getting spiked. Well, spiking himself, basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he has an eye for talent.
But do you think that it's a smart move for WWE to do this stuff?
I think it is because you're testing out the waters. Because why not have two touring brands? And if you want to go out on almost on a limb on this, you could say that we're going to have 3 weeks main roster tours, 1 week NXT.
You could almost do that if you want to at this point, because I believe that NXT, even though they're house shows, if you do it once a month and you're like, hey, that's coming to this area, well, I'm going to go see it. You know, like, let's say they're coming out to the Washington area. You're going to go want to see it, not just because it's NXT.
Sure.
It's NXT.
My question, though, is more about what do you think about somebody like a Sami Zayn going to Evolve? You know, let's say Kevin Owens appeared there, or Cesaro. Do you think that's a good idea to expose those people to a smaller audience? Do you think that'll help them out at all? Or do you think that might help wrestling out in general? You know, because if people hear that, guess what? Kevin Owens is going to be appearing at in a Northeast event, that might help him out. Do you think that's a good idea?
Okay, let's say you have a chance to wrestle at an indie show on Saturday night, or you have, we'll say Evolve, or you have a chance to wrestle at a TNA house show on Saturday night, and you know that there's going to be an NXT guy or even a WWE guy at that show. Which one are you going to wrestle at? I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point, because you're going to have that guy, even though all the wrestlers are going to be kissing his butt, if you got a guy who's talking about signing with TNA, that's actually that's almost like a WWE power play, where you say, well, if you stay with the Vault for the next 6 months, that means TNA won't sign him, or that he will not go to TNA just because of that, because he knows that, hey, I have a great opportunity to be with the WWE or NXT. Why not? I mean, you're not going to get the guys who are like the name brand, like I guess name brand or like the top of the ladder indie guys, because it doesn't matter where they go, they're going to get paid a certain amount. But if you're going to make, you know, say $500 at a TNA show or $250 at a Evolve show, but the Evolve show is going to have an NXT superstar, you're going to just go there and take the pay cut because of that. And some people will probably do it for less. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm wordy on this.
Right. I didn't really figure out where you're. I'm going to say, let me answer that question and actually answer the question unlike Andy did. I'm going to say yes, and for one reason. When we watched the Attitude Era, the reason we enjoyed it so much is that anything could happen, right? There was an unpredictability. So if I watch Evolve and Sami Zayn pops up, you know what that means? Anyone from the WWE could theoretically pop up on this show. I now have a reason to watch. Kevin Owens could show up. Cesaro could show up. Daniel Bryan could show up. Samoa Joe could show up. Anything is on the table the moment I realize they're working together. That alone makes Evolve important. That elevates them over Ring of Honor, over TNA, over anybody in the region, because WWE has probably the biggest roster of talent maybe they've ever had, outside of maybe directly after the invasion. And any one of those guys, and a lot of those guys have indie roots, could come back and show up.
And they have a vested interest in them, which is a really good then for the brand and good for the sport of wrestling, which I think is the most important part, because then it helps maybe get some more people involved in it. And if somebody goes to that event because they happen to be a Samoa Joe fan, and then they're like, oh, wait, there's this other wrestling out there, that might get them more into wrestling and might get them to buy more merchandise, you know, so on and so forth. So,
and also another thing to point out is that when they do a best of series, they can actually get a discounted rate on that guy's indie show. So let's talk WWE program for this week. Hell in a Cell is this weekend. It's a big weekend for wrestling, of course, because it's Hell in a Cell. And the one thing that, you know, I'm excited about the New Day and the Dudleys.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about some of the bigger matches that are going on. New Day and the Dudleys have been dancing around for a little while now. New Day has obviously retained their titles, whether or not they've won or lost, they've retained their titles. Do you think that they are going to retain this Sunday?
Yes, I believe that they will retain. There's not a question in my mind. I think that at Survivor Series, they'll retain again. But then I believe in December, TLC, I think that's when the Dudleys win.
Is this a tables match?
It is not. No, it's just tag team match.
Why is this not a tables match? Didn't we already see a tag team match between these two?
Yes, we have.
So we have a tag team title match between a team who's famous for tables, not involving tables. Why?
But it's the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, so they don't want to oversaturate it with things like tables matches.
But TLC could have stairs.
Yeah. That's a facepalm. No, this one is actually a little bit of a toss-up for me. I think that they do need a tables match. I think that's what you do, is you have a tables match that 3D then wins.
Or loses 3-on-2.
You could potentially do something like that. But because they've lost so much, it would be nice for the Dudley Boys to get the titles. I love New Day. I think New Day is fantastic. And, you know, there is nothing better. Like, they've done a great job booking them because they've been popular. You know, New Day got over on their own accord, and WWE has noticed that, and they decided to book them accordingly, which is what you are supposed to do. You know, not what they did with Cesaro, not what they did with Daniel Bryan or CM Punk for the longest time, but they are doing it correctly right now. And I'm very happy about that. But if I were booking this, I would have the Dudleys win here, retain at Survivor Series, and actually maybe even take it off them at TLC is maybe what I would do.
We had a discussion on one of the previous podcasts about who's the best heel. The New Day are the best heels in the business. They are true heels. They're unlikable, but you enjoy watching them get the crap kicked out of them. Mm-hmm. That's how heels should be booked.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Actually, what said actually sounds a little bit better. That way, Dudley's have it for a few months, but then they lose it to the match that the Dudley should win. So that does make sense.
Now, who do you think Cena's going to face in his open challenge? Because he said, I'm going to have a U.S. Open challenge. Obviously, there's already a few people that are going to be in matches. So I'm assuming that most of them are not going to be involved. The only ones I could potentially see are the six-man tag. You know, I could see one of those guys challenging Cena. But Andy, who do you think, like, in your gut, who do you think is going to take on Cena?
El Generico.
Okay, so let's get a non-stupid answer. Roger.
Well, so I'm gonna work in the realm of possibilities. My first choice is Dolph Ziggler. I think he's the most likely to work two matches and win. Who's returning? There's someone we have not seen in a while, and I can't, he's on the tip of my tongue.
Alberto Del Rio.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, I heard you guys have that conversation. Yeah. Let me say this right now. He's not coming back. He slapped a guy backstage while he was in the right because the guy made racist comments. They're not going to rehire a guy who slapped a guy backstage. I will put money on it. You could quote me in a month if I'm wrong. He won't be back. Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
That's what they said about Warrior.
And that's what they said about Brock.
Back in a decade.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
So who do you think, though, is going to take on Cena?
Dolph Ziggler. I don't see anyone who realistically should win the U.S. title because Cena's leaving. So he's got to drop it here, realistically. It could be Jericho. That was the wild card I was thinking about. He can come out and win the title and take Cena's spot for a little bit. It could be. It's not going to be Rusev. It's got to be Ziggler, right? Who else can win it? Who needs it, for one? Kevin Owens already has a title. He could unify him, I suppose, but he's not going to wrestle two matches.
No. I don't think that he would either.
Sami Zayn isn't even ready to come back, though he would be a great choice.
It would be very interesting to see him. What about like a Dean Ambrose? Because he is not going to be.
When did this happen?
Dean Ambrose doesn't have a match now since Randy Orton got injured.
Oh, Orton got hurt?
Yeah. It was at a house show. So.
Oh, Ambrose is actually a realistic choice.
So if I were to put money on it, though, I would agree. I would say Ziggler. Andy, what do you think?
You know, it would be actually a fun one if we had someone make their return with his manager, Zeb Coulter. What do you think?
You think that Jack Swagger would go over on John Cena?
I'm not saying he would, but it wouldn't be kind of cool at least.
No. No one likes Jack Swagger.
No, in all seriousness, I think Dolph Ziggler is going to come back.
Cheer Jack Swagger. Let me point that out right now. Like, even Jack Swagger wants Jack Swagger to go away.
No, like Zack Ryder would be a cool one in all seriousness, but I know he won't. But I believe
Zack Ryder over John Cena. Let's talk about the realm of possibility here.
To me, it would be kind of cool. Okay. But also to me, Shane Helms
has a win over John Cena. The Big Show has a win over John Cena. Dolph Ziggler has a win over John Cena. So those three I could potentially see.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, I know it's going to be Ziggler. All right, let's just put that. It's going to be Ziggler, but wouldn't it be kind of cool if, like, Shane Helms made his return, or like a Jeff Hardy, or
TNA makes his return?
Yeah, some guy from TNA makes his return.
Miz. Actually, The Miz could.
Can we point something out? About 4 years ago, I think it was, Zack Ryder was so over that we could have realistically had the conversation that Zack Ryder could have gone over John Cena to win the United States Championship, and it would not have been all that unrealistic. He's fallen so far that I can't even buy him being on the pay-per-view right now, let alone winning a championship.
Nah, but I believe that'll be Dolph Ziggler. I think that if you're going to do this heel turn, bam, there it is. If it's going to be someone like a surprise, Del Rio would be a shock. And I think people would be like, what? And then you could do the injury thing where Cena injured his elbow and had to have surgery and Del Rio tore it off. You could always do that. But Ziggler's going to win. There's no way around it.
All right. So next we have Rollins and Kane. This is for the title. Roger.
Is this Hell in a Cell?
This one is not Hell in a Cell from what I'm told.
So let me get this straight. We have the pay-per-view is called Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
The premier championship in the company is the World Heavyweight title. And Kane, a guy known for being a monster and making his debut in Hell in a Cell, and if I'm correct, is the director of operations.
Yep.
Did not book this match inside of a Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get an explanation as to why?
Well, I was hoping for an Inferno match myself, but, you know.
I would have been fine with an Inferno cage match. That actually would have been logical. But so now Rollins can just get himself disqualified? Because that's the only way they're going to get out of this, right? We know we're not going to get a clean finish. They're not going to fire Kane. Rollins is not going to lose the title to Kane. So there's almost no realistic belief that I'm going to see a finish here. It's just going to be a DQ or a count out or, you know, draw game or whatever it's going to be. What is the point of this match? Who benefits from this?
No one. And this is the match that, as I had mentioned before about Daniel Bryan taking on Kane, it's a filler match. That's all it is. This is pure filler. Just so that way you can try to tell a somewhat interesting story. You know that, like, you have a favorite show that you watch, and you know that you watched an episode, and you're like, that really was not a good episode, but I like my characters. And so I'm still going to watch it. It's not that important. I'm going to look at my phone most of the time. That's what I'm going
to
do.
I'm watching it to get to the next one.
I'm watching it to get to the next one. That's what this match is. There's nothing that's going to happen in this match that's going to make me like Seth Rollins or Kane more or hate them more or anything. This is a pointless match.
This is a match that should be not advertised on Raw, and it just happens, and I'd be fine with it that way.
Do you think that they had the Shield reunite in quotes on Raw just to test it out, see how the crowd reacted?
It's very similar to like Evolution, you know, when they would do that stuff. It's a you know, fun little teaser. It's something. Oh, you haven't seen this, you know, like when they did the four way match and those three powerbombed. I think it was Orton.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Orton.
Rollins went crazy.
Yeah,
put the fist.
Which was a very cool moment. It was an amazing moment to see. However, though, they're not going to get back together, I think, anytime soon. It was just more a fun little nostalgic trip, and that was it.
What I meant by that is that they want to see if Seth Rollins would then get a cheer opposed to like boos, is what I was getting at. Because
Rollins doesn't need the Shield to get a cheer.
Mm-mm.
Well, he doesn't.
All he has to do is curb stomp Triple H one time. He will be the number one face in the company. I mean, truthfully, he will be the number one face in the company. He pedigrees Hunter. He curb stomps Hunter. He does anything to turn from the authority and says, you know what? I'm better than this. I don't need you. We will go crazy. He's loved even though he's a heel. So he can easily transition to a face. He works a very baby face style. He doesn't need the Shield to get over. Reigns needs the Shield to get really over.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting is that maybe is this the time that you try and turn Rollins more face, but to do that, you have Kane win, Sheamus cashes in, Sheamus is a heel, then you have Rollins as a face then.
I would not give Kane a, 10-minute reign. I think that would be wasteful. I don't think that Kane should get a win here. And I also don't think Sheamus should cash in. And in fact, I think it would be a good idea for Sheamus to have a failure for a cash in. And not in the same way that Sandow did, but instead more of he cashes in and then Rollins gets himself DQ'd or counted out or something like that.
Or runs away.
Just runs away. Hey, Sheamus, you won the match in the same way John Cena won his cash in, but you didn't get the belt, you know? And you can do that, and then you could maybe help build up Sheamus as get him some X-Pac heat by being like, it's not fair. I lost this, but you know, he got a count out. That's not real.
One more match.
Yeah.
One more match.
Do a Christian thing there, you know? I mean, that's what you could do.
Can we do some fantasy booking here for a second, real quick? Let's say that we take Kane out of this equation and he's still the director of operations, and we replace Kane with Sheamus. Now you actually have an interesting storyline that says, will Sheamus actually try to win the belt? Will he try to just do a lot of damage on Rollins and beat the crap out of him and say, I'll take a chair and destroy your knees and then cash in immediately after? Now I'm interested in this match.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Why is the Money in the Bank winner in a stupid 6-man tag match?
The only downside with that, though, is then it's a heel versus a heel.
Which, agreed. But which heel versus heel can work.
It can. But I would be also wondering, although I guess, never mind. I'll take that back. I was going to say, why would Kane put that? But obviously he, is not a fan of Rollins. But it's not like Sheamus has been helping out the authority or he hasn't been buddy-buddy with them. So that would be the only reservation.
But that's why it works, because they don't get along.
But if they had a good storyline going in, then I think he could. But I do agree. I think having him in the six-man tag is a big mistake. I think it and it's on the pre-show. Your Money in the Bank winner is on the pre-show with five other people, not even in a singles match. He literally has no feuds going right now. In fact, his only real feud is he's teaming with King Barrett, who is constantly on the pre-show, to take on Neville, who's constantly feuding with King Barrett, and Cesaro.
Who's in the doghouse.
Who's in the doghouse. Rollins was booked very well with the Money in the Bank briefcase. In fact, he was in an amazing match, a triple threat match with Lesnar and Cena.
Who was the Money in the Bank winner before Rollins? Was it Randy Orton? A main eventer.
No.
Before that, it was Sandow. We'll just ignore that.
You had Ziggler as well.
Ziggler,
and Cena,
who cashed in phenomenally.
Del Rio. You know, so you had really good people. And I'm not saying that Shane, I don't think Shane should have won it, but I think that they are booking him very poorly to the point where I think he should not win a title.
And he's likely your next WWE champion. And he's on the pre-show.
Yep.
Huh?
Hey, pre-show to main event. You never know. Yeah, they might bump Brock and Taker. You never know. That's
anyway,
not going to happen.
So Reigns and Wyatt is in Hell in a Cell. This is one of two that's in Hell in a Cell. And they're doing it to try to keep the Wyatts out, which, dear God, if I hear that from WWE one more time, we're going to put this in a cage match, or we're going to put this in a cell to keep the other people out. Are you kidding me? When has somebody ever been kept out by a cage match that you can simply open a door to get in? Never in the history of WWE in the past 10 years has that ever worked. All right.
Bolt cutters hide underneath the ring.
All right. Andy, who do you got in this match?
Easy Wyatts.
You think that this will lead to a Survivor Series then?
Yeah, because now you'll have four Wyatts, and then you'll have Ambrose and Reigns, and then pick two other random guys. It doesn't matter who. Throw them in there.
Yeah, my question would be, let's say they go to Survivor Series, so they have a 4-on-4. You would have, obviously, Reigns and Ambrose. Orton, because obviously they had that issue there with him. Would you put Jericho?
Yes.
You think Jericho would be a good idea?
Not a champions follow-up.
Yeah, Jericho would be a good one, because he's feuded with the Wyatt family, but then who else? That's the other thing. Who would you?
Well, you could do a 4-on-4 Survivor Series. I know traditionally it's 5-on-5. You could do a 4-on-4 since it is an actual group of four people, and you don't want to, if you choose to make it so they don't just throw one random person in there for God knows what reason.
I believe they could add a fifth person to the Wyatts.
Yeah,
I really believe they could do it.
Sister Abigail, bring her in.
So. The reason this match occurred is to keep the Wyatts out, right? To keep them out of Hell in a Cell. Last year, the Hell in a Cell main event was Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Who interfered in that main event?
Bray Wyatt.
And it was a Hell in a Cell match. Oh. So it couldn't actually even keep out Bray Wyatt. But I'm now supposed to believe he can keep out three guys?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, I know there's a three-month rule, but come on. You'd be better off just making it a 4-on-4 brawl now. Put all of them in the Hell in a Cell and let them fight it out. Ambrose isn't even on the pay-per-view, which...
Well, that's because of Orton getting injured, because they were going to tag team.
Against the Wyatts?
Yeah.
In a Hell in a Cell?
No, that one was not going to be Hell in a Cell.
A year ago, Dean Ambrose was in the main event.
Like,
what?
Back to back.
Happened.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're like, oh, we don't believe in Dean right now. Oh, really? Are you serious?
I think that he's doing, you know, given his role, what he's doing, I think he's doing a very good job. I am actually pretty impressed with what he's been able to do on the mic. His ring work is very passable. It's above average. Sometimes I think he gets a little lazy in the ring with certain things that he does, but doing the rebound clothesline, I saw him do it one match like four times in a row, and I was like, dude, no, you do it once and that's it.
Maybe twice.
Yeah. But he is doing a very good job, and they're obviously keeping Roman hot, or at least trying to keep him hot, to push him to the main event for WrestleMania this year. I believe that that's what they're doing. You know, I think that we're going to see a back-to-back winner. I think that Roman is going to win Royal Rumble again. So
I would guarantee it.
So this match, I say Roman goes out on top, unless they are going to do the 4-on-4 at Survivor Series.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about, this will be the main event, we hope at least.
Are you sure, Andy? They've shown like six previews on Raw, so I'm not sure if it's the main event.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't done a 6-hour WWE Network special on this.
Oh, you didn't see it?
Oh, wait, I missed it? It's Tuesday.
You didn't see it?
Oh, man, I missed it. Yeah. Well, anyway, so Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. This one, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Really?
I think Lesnar should win, but it could go either way to me.
I got Lesnar winning this one.
Can we get your rationale why you think Undertaker's going has a chance to win?
Because it's his match. It's Hell in a Cell. That's why. That's
isn't
the
his
only
record
reason.
In Hell in a Cell under 500?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh, okay.
Batista beat him in a Hell in a Cell. Actually, I'm trying to think of the Hell in a Cells he's won. He beat Edge. He lost to Shawn Michaels in the first one. He lost to Batista. He usually loses the Hell in a Cell match. He lost to Kane. We're looking right now. Yeah. Brock beat him already in one. Oh, he beat Undertaker, or he beat Orton.
He beat Mankind, Big Boss Man.
Oh, yeah, the Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
Oh, he beat Punk in a Hell in a Cell.
But, you know, it is funny, though, that Lesnar has already defeated The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match. And that was 13 years ago. Almost to the day, actually.
Yep. Actually, to the day today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so, I mean, if you want to go from this aspect as Taker's not going to be around for a while, have Lesnar win because, of course, Taker got the win with Hell's Gate a few months back. And
a low blow.
By a low
a
blow.
Mm-hmm. And Hell's Gate.
And I will say that sequence, even though at SummerSlam I did have no power, it was funny rewatching that with him giving him the bird and then passing out. I thought that part of the storyline was really good. But this is good because it's submission. It's only by pinfall, right? In Hell in a Cell.
No, you can tap out in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, I was just thinking like, well, how come? I was just thinking about what happened at SummerSlam. Are they going to say that no one can ring the bell until someone keeps tapping over and over again?
They're going to do something stupid here. I imagine some tomfoolery with this one.
Really? You think this is going to be?
I don't think it'll be on the. It'll be similar to what happened last time. Is what I'm expecting. Something where you go, wait, what was that? What are they doing? And then something crazy is going to happen. And then somehow Lesnar will get a win. You know, it'll be something stupid. That's what I think is going to happen. Something stupid is going to happen.
What
if this is a repeat of WrestleMania 30? I think Lesnar is going to destroy him.
It'll be a straight win.
I think The Undertaker is going to go down fighting, but I think Lesnar is going to officially establish himself as the winner of this feud. He is going to wreck The Undertaker. Not just beat him, because he's going to be mad about the loss last time. So he's not going to just stop when he thinks he tapped. He's going to F5 him. He's going to F5 him. He's going to F5 him. He's going to hit him so much that they'll probably have the referee say, enough. Even though it's Hell in a Cell, they'll probably say, we're done. He can't defend himself anymore. Because he's already sent him to the hospital legitimately once, and they mentioned that on camera. You could totally do a storyline where he beats Undertaker down so badly, they say, we're done. Match can't continue.
You know, it'd be really...
They could do that, yeah.
Here's the worst booking that could happen. Rollins wins, of course, and then Kane comes out and is furious, so he tries to chokeslam both of them. That would be a horrible ending to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, Seth, that would be a terrible ending.
And that's why I'm not a booker.
Yes.
So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, a free stability, hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. So our weekly topic is all about Brock being on Stone Cold's podcast. What did you think of it, Aaron?
So I enjoy Stone Cold's podcast. I would say, given the ones that he's done so far, Paige's was definitely the one that I liked the least by far. Edge and Christian, actually, I would say is probably the second one. And not because I don't like Edge and Christian, but because I felt the substance that they had talked about, it wasn't important. I would put this one in the middle. You know, Vince McMahon's one was just so good. And I think timing was everything because Punk was just on Colt's podcast. And so Stone Cold said, do you want to talk about CM Punk? He said that. And it was a, oh, my God, are we going to hear, you know, another side of the story? And so I think that really helped out. Triple H's was also really good. But I would say all in all, they're definitely better than Jericho's podcasts that he's had on the network, because I think those were just absolutely terrible. So,
but Stephanie, you're such a good person.
Yeah, right? Like, let's softball every single question to Stephanie and you know, Cena. Like, there was nothing there that was a, you know, people say that you shouldn't be in this business, Cena. Like, people hate you. What do you think about that? You know, there was no, like, and I'm not saying, like, be a jerk, but you can ask a tough question. I think that...
How do you feel about the fact that half the crowd has not been in your side for the last 10 years? Haven't you, just ask a normal question. Yeah.
And that's not even, that is not a mean question. That is a legit, fans want to know this.
How do you feel? Like, what does that, what reaction do you actually feel in the ring? Because we've seen him react to it where he's kind of like, ugh. Like, what, you know, what's going through your mind?
Now, the Brock one, it was like two friends, you know, very similar to the Edge and Christian one. The only thing that I think was different is that Brock is not an interviewer. And so listening to Brock talk was interesting because he definitely got prepped a little bit beforehand, because he on SportsCenter, the comment came up about how Dana White said, well, he said wrestling's fake. He's like, well, yeah, of course, wrestling's fake. And it was like, well, you know, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say it's predetermined, but it's still sports entertainment. So I was very happy with it. I, you know, I might listen to it again. Actually, I probably will, because he'll Stone Cold puts him out on his show a week or two afterwards. So but Andy, what were your thoughts on it?
You said, OK, we can never. Vince McMahon is the best. And if he's put out six on the network. OK. And I will say this is, I think, better than Triple H's. So that's my thing. And I really enjoyed it. And also, I thought they were going to really dislike each other for obvious reasons, but they didn't. And Brock made the good point. He said that he likes to keep to himself. He doesn't like to talk to, you know, a lot of people. He looks at this as a job. He clocks in, does his thing, clocks out, and then it's done. It's just a job for him. But I like the fact that he brought up UFC and why he stopped doing UFC. So I was really happy about that, but
Football as well.
And you know, football
about his time there. And I thought Paul Heyman. Oh, and actually, I forgot, because obviously Paul Heyman was on there. I'd probably put Paul Heyman's and Brock's around the same, you know, for you know, level for those two.
But can we say Paul Heyman's though? I think our expectations of what we were going to get from Paul Heyman in Austin were probably unreasonably high.
They were,
because I think we all heard that and go, this might be the best podcast we've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And it was good, but it just wasn't like earth shatteringly amazing. No. So we're like, eh.
The one thing I was going to say about Lesnar, and I think Paul Heyman had said, was that if Lesnar was bred for the NFL, in other words, if he did the training for the NFL as a young kid, then he obviously would have made it in the NFL. But he did it after the fact, after he trained to be a wrestler. And so it was very different. And Lesnar said, you know, I mean, this is the toughest thing that he's ever done, was doing the NFL training camp. And that I thought that was really, really fascinating to kind of hear that from.
Did you think that Stone Cold, also knowing that Brock is not a great interviewer, that he had questions lined up, so he almost would let him on a lot of the answers?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You know, if you have a weak subject, that's what you should be doing. You don't want a podcast where he's not comfortable answering, or he's not talking, or there's a lot of dead air. So if Brock is not very comfortable as a speaker, which is why he's always had Paul Heyman as his mouthpiece, you kind of want to lead him into his answer, so he's not just sitting there, you know, you want to have a good flowing back and forth discussion. So I think he did, and he should have. That's what a good host does.
Yeah, and thinking about when he talked about his truck, they showed a picture of his 2014 Dodge Ram, I think, and it was a like Lesnar eyes lit up. He was like, oh man, let me tell you about this thing. And it was like, wow, like, you love your truck. He called it his baby. I mean, he was just like very into his truck, which is cool. I mean, you know, people love
he's
their
a farm
stuff.
Boy. I mean, he's in every aspect of the
truck. And he talked about that too. I want to ask you, because this is something I think is a more important conversation, because Andy brought up that he said he sees it as a job. You know, he clocks in, clocks out, you know. So Roger, let's just say that quote came from Roman Reigns.
Uh-huh.
How would you feel about that?
So I think I understand the true point of your question here, is that, like, would the reaction be the same? Would we be okay with the fact that somebody who we consider mediocre just treats this as a job, as opposed to maybe a top five guy in the business treats this as just a job? Okay, before I answer, let me say something real quick about Lesnar. For people who don't appreciate how difficult and impressive what Lesnar accomplished was, without any training in football, past, I think, maybe even high school. He made it to the final cuts of an NFL roster. That is ridiculous.
Of semi-professional NFL roster.
Yeah. I mean, they had Adrian Peterson at the time. They had an NFL player.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they had a real NFL. I mean, okay. that's amazing when you think of, like, none of us. We don't know anyone who could make the final cuts of an NFL roster. And I know people who've played in college. As far as that quote goes, that quote doesn't bother me the way I think other people are going to bother it. And the reason is NFL players, like there's thousands of NFL players. Do I honestly believe that each and every one of them look at this as their passion, or that there are some of them who are just really, really good and play this because it's a way to make money? It is a job for some people. Not everyone is going to love wrestling or sports or video games or whatever our personal passion is the same way. Does it bother me that Brock treats this as a job? No. Would it bother me that Roman treats this as a job? A little bit. Here's why it would bother me. Brock Lesnar doesn't really care. And yet he goes out there and gives me arguably matches of the year every time. His WrestleMania match and his Royal Rumble match, top five matches of the year. And the other three are NXT. Roman Reigns gives me one good match, which was the one with Brock Lesnar, and a bunch of garbage and terrible promos. I have no problem if you are not all that passionate about it, if you're phenomenal. Michael Jordan's favorite sport was baseball. Not a single Chicago Bulls fan has ever complained about Michael Jordan's passion for the sport because he's amazing.
He actually played for a little bit for the Sox.
Was getting better. Yeah. Like, people don't realize he was actually doing pretty well his second year. Then the lockout happened. Mm-hmm. Then he decided to go play basketball again. By the way, I like that you're the greatest of all time and like your second favorite sport. Like, mm-hmm. How amazing are you when it's like, I like this. I'm okay with it. I'll be the best ever. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, and I would agree with that for the most part. I Lesnar is a special attraction, and WWE has built him that way. And they have done a very good job of building him that way to the point now where he was on SmackDowns consistently. And now, you know, he went away, went to UFC, became bigger, comes back. And he's only on the pay-per-views, really, and it's a can't-miss, you know? It's not just must-see, it's can't-miss, as Paul Heyman would say.
And who else is can't-miss?
Yeah, there's no one. There really isn't. I would say that it is okay for Lesnar.
And see, that's what I was getting at, is that I was going to say, do you think he's attraction or is he a performer? Because I think he's the attraction first and then a performer lower on that. I do like the fact that he's saying that he's hands-on with Vince, and that's pretty much it. But overall, really good podcast, and I hope they keep doing more of these. But this Sunday, it's going to end his was it the hell? Was it the road to hell or something like that? Is his tagline. So that's where it's going to end on this Sunday. So anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltaMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.